Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Why do we never get?
And here I am, Dr. Future. Only I'm not Dr. Future. I'm Captain Future. How's that? Captain Future today. Michael Harrison back with you. What a pleasure to be back on KSCO in a live program. 3:22 in the afternoon. It's Tuesday, July 30th, 2019 at KSCO AM 1080, FM 104.1 and KSCO.com. We are going to have a guest, Gregory Panos, calling in from SIGGRAPH 2019, a conference and exhibition in Los Angeles. He's going to chat it up. He's a pretty cool character, a writer, a future, an educator, a strategic planning consultant, and he is a technology evangelist in augmented reality, virtual reality, human simulation, motion capture. Greg, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Michael?
I'm a fan of science. This is just a lot of fun. I'm kind of speculating on what a guy like you with show business in your blood and technology and virtual reality, where that ties to science. And I said, well, virtual reality ties right into science on some of the most deepest and philosophical levels. But please, for the sake of me staying true to form here, because I know that you're going to be doing more broadcasting in the future with Dr. Future at SIGGRAPH 2019. What's the quick definition?
Well, first of all, I have my colleague here, Richard Cray, who's a former Broadway actor and singer. He's clued in on a lot more deeper levels of the entertainment aspect of computer graphics.
Hello.
Nice to have you. You're sort of the Simon and Garfunkel of technology.
Yeah. The light and the sound.
Right. I think I'm Garfunkel.
But just what is SIGGRAPH 2019? I'm just curious.
SIGGRAPH is Special Interest in Graphics, an organization that has allowed professionals in the area of computer animation, 3D graphics, rendering, all the stuff that you see in movies nowadays, the high-end movies and special effects, are scientists and artists that have been collaborating for decades in the field. And they come here and they share their science, advances, new products, tools, their creative artistic endeavors and experiments. Sometimes SIGGRAPH has been very large. There's been 40, 50,000 people here. Really a lot of people. There's a show floor, and then there's a special emerging technologies area where the artists get to run wild and do all the fun things they've been doing with state-of-the-art technology and computer graphics and animation and rendering and facial capture and facial animation and virtual humans. It's a real playground for the mind. One of the most exciting, fun, interesting conferences I've been going to since 1982. I've been to a lot of great tech events, but this one really is exciting and fun.
Well, if there are 50,000 professionals there learning about the latest in computer graphics and virtual reality and all these, how come the same five companies control everything we see in the movies so that every sci-fi movie looks like the one we saw before?
I think at the end of the day, it's all about the money. So they hire the people who can get them to a place where they can do special effects and they can make them realistic looking, and they can address the story plot lines in a manner that takes advantage of all the great visual advancements. And so the key scientists in the field end up working for entertainment companies that are willing to invest and keep them working and putting labs together and teams to do development. And at SIGGRAPH, it's a chance for them to publish their scientific papers. Now, other conferences, they show up the material. You know, a lot of the great new movies now, they use a lot of special effects. The studios really work hard, try not to talk about the special effects. They just want it to be real or seem real and have people enjoy it and not have their head explode trying to figure out how to build a 3D model and render it and light it in a photorealistic scenario.
I get the feeling that with the advent of computer graphics being part of entertainment, that we're not that far away from being able to see a brand new movie or hear a brand new album by, say, Clark Gable or the Beatles, that Clark Gable or the Beatles never ever had any part of whatsoever, and yet it would sound or look exactly like them singing or performing in this new paradigm. Am I out to lunch, or is this in fact something that's within our grasp?
No, that's happening. That's happening augmented reality is being used to create theater. Yesterday we met some young folks at NYU that created an experience called Mary and the Monster, which was a augmented presentation of Mary Shelley's inspiration for Frankenstein. We sat around a large table with Magic Leap AR glasses on, looking at a table, and on the table we could see Mary Shelley, Lord Byron, Percy Shelley, acting out the scene, the inspiration for her novel Frankenstein, and then continued on into seeing the Frankenstein monster and the lightning.
It's alive!
And it's three-dimensional space as opposed to being on a two-dimensional screen relying on your own brain to put the other dimension in. You're like watching it. It's like theater in the round.
We were looking at a theatrical setting with the sets and everything, special effects on a table right in front of us.
Like a diorama.
That's what I'm saying. It was like a hologram. Yes. But the point is you're seeing it in three-dimensional space. People don't realize when you're watching television or you're watching a film, you're watching a two-dimensional depiction of a three-dimensional reality, and we accept it. But it really is two-dimensional. We have the lines of perspective that help our brain fill in the gap. Hey, I would be derelict in my duty if I didn't take advantage of a couple of guys like you being here now to ask you one of the big questions that's floating around out there on the fringes of science, and that is whether or not we live in a pixelated universe. If in fact you're laughing already, a pixelated universe, and is it possible that we are living in a simulation?
There's a lot of theorizing about it. It was interesting what you asked before about Clark Gable being resurrected. Mm-hmm. There's a long history of virtual humans and virtual human simulation and virtual actors.
Virtual celebrities.
Vectors, cyber personas. I mean, there's so many different names. Of course, the one name that has caught on culturally is Avatar. So you can have an avatar. It doesn't necessarily have to look like you. A photorealistic avatar, I came up with a name called a persona form. So that would be one that actually looks and acts like you and it wouldn't be embodied as a dog or a cat or a manji character or anything like that. And all the scientists who are the real world-leading experts are here in SIGGRA talking about the next photorealistic character they just created. Work is so amazing. If you can perform a virtual character that's photorealistic in real time today. In the past, it took millions of dollars worth of equipment. Nowadays, maybe with $10,000 system, you can do it and do a whole television show live. So maybe there's a virtual character in your future, Michael.
Yeah, but why have you guys sidestepped the question? Is it a question that you'd be embarrassed to answer because on your level of science it's considered silly? Or it's so controversial you don't want to destroy your careers?
Gregory walks around with a little magic trick in his pocket. He has an Asus Zen AR phone that has a time of flight 3D sensor on it. He will approach some of the luminaries, computer graphics, some of the OGs, the old gurus, and scan them and create these virtual memories, create a virtual memory museum.
So, I can walk around somebody and wave the scanner and then create a 3D model of them.
Right. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, right on the spot.
But this idea of a simulated universe is happening as we speak, as we go from being surveilled by security cameras.
Right.
Everything now will be volumetric capture. We will all exist in the great volumetric capture in the sky.
The prison.
In the cloud.
Or along the walls of the event horizon in a black hole where our information is being stored. Hey, listen, this has been a pleasure. I know you guys are coming back and you're going to talk to Dr. and Mrs. Future. So Gregory Panos, Richard Ray, you both will be back on with Dr. and Mrs. Future to talk more about SIGGRAPH 2019. I appreciate your answers. I hope that you didn't mind that I got a little bit esoteric with you. Perhaps I seemed silly. That is not in any way to diminish the importance.
There's a lot more material. And we're going to probably make a contribution next week. And then when Dr. Future gets back, we're going to cover some more of the material.
Super. We look forward to that.
I mean, there's so much here to talk about.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Gregory Panos and Richard Cray, appreciate you joining us. Hope to talk to you again in the future. And good luck there. And we look forward to hearing you in the next couple of weeks on this program. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Michael Harrison with you right here at KSCO AM 1080, FM 104.1, and KSCO.com.
You've been listening to KSCO Santa Cruz.